Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
I think I've done that and before, so today I'll do it. All right, Judges chapter 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippadoth, she judged Israel at the time. And she dwelled under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak. Come on, somebody. She sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of somewhere and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and children of Zebulun? And I will draw to you to the river of Kishon Sesari, the captain of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you go with me, then I will go." Everybody say that with me. If you go with me, then I will go. "But if you will not go with me, then I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you, notwithstanding the journey that you take shall not be for your honor then. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. I want to talk to you this morning out of verse 8. He said this, go back one verse. It says, "And Barak said to her, if you go with me, then I will go. But if you won't go with me, then I'm not going to go." Verse 9. "And she said, I'll go with you, but notwithstanding the journey that you take shall not be for your honor then, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah rose up and went with him. I want to talk to you this morning about the theme, dare to be great. Everybody say that with me. Say, dare. Let's bow our heads. Cut me down a little bit. I'm loud up here. Father, I thank you this morning that you can speak to our hearts and challenge us, Lord, when everything within us is telling us something different. Father, we love you today. Open our minds. Open our understanding. And I pray for myself and I pray for our church. Lord, teach us to be great and to dare to be great and to follow you when you tell us to do something. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Turn around and somebody say, dare to be great. Would you say it? Deborah was an old woman at this time, and she had judged Israel for many years, and Israel had been oppressed by one of their enemies for about 20 years. And she calls a young man by the name of Barak, and she says to Barak, she says, "God Almighty has said to me, to tell you to take 10,000 men and go and fight against our enemy, and God will deliver him into your enemy." The captain or the general of that army was Sisera. And she said, "If you will go, God will deliver him into your hand, and you will receive the glory as the commander of the armies of Israel." And the Bible says that this man, Barak, looked at her and said, got initially excited, and then something came in his mind, and he said this to her, "I'll go, but I'll only go if you go with me." And she looked at him and said, "I'll go with you, but," she said, "because of what you said, if I'll go with you, but the glory will not be yours. God will sell this enemy general into the hands of a woman, and this woman will receive the glory." You know, when God tells you to do something, don't worry about who might or might not go with you. Come on, somebody. "Well, I'll go if my wife goes." I got a grandmother word for you, phooey. Everybody say phooey. Would you say phooey? That's what my grandma used to say, phooey. You know, going, "I'll go if, you know, if the rest of the church goes. I'll go if my husband, I'll go if my," listen, when God begins to speak to you, you need to go regardless of who might go with you or won't go with you. Barak should have went whether Deborah went with him or not. He should have got a little steel in his backbone and said, "I'm going. I don't care who's going or not. If God told me to do it, I'm going to do what God told me to do." And one of the keys about being great in the kingdom of God, you know, don't wait on somebody else. James 5 says this. Listen to this. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of, everybody say the next word. No. Of what? Not 1,000 of you, not 10 of you, not even 2 of you. The effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Can I tell you, one man with God, my dad used to tell me that all the time, one man with God is the majority. The effectual prayer of a righteous man. One man, the prayers of one man, the effectual fervent prayer of one righteous man can avail much. I've learned this in life. When Gideon was going to battle, the Bible says God deliberately whittled him down. And sometimes we get scared when God whittles us down. But you know what God wants us to show? That the battle, listen, this battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And when he tells you to do something, sometimes he won't let anybody else get enthused about what you want to do. Because he wants you to do it and know that it was God that brought it to pass in your life. He made Gideon whittle his army down until he had a few hundred left. In Judges chapter 4, Deborah said to Barak, he says, God says, if you'll go out, I'll give them into your hand. And Barak said, I won't go unless you go with me. He refused to be great because God had given him a direct word, and they knew this woman was not some fly-by-night person. She judged Israel for decades. And when he comes and God gives him a word, there's no doubting that this is from God. But what he did, he said, I will not go unless you go with me. He refused to be great. He put conditions on it. There's fear entered his heart. And she said, all right, I'll go with you, but mark it. The honor will not go to you. The honor will go to a woman. God will sell the general Sisera into the hands of a woman and not unto you. You know, when David was king, David made a kind of a special area on the walls of Jerusalem. David came and he built what was called the inspection gate. And when they would come back from battle, David, if he wasn't with the army, David, or even if he was, he'd come ahead. And David would come and David would sit on top of this gate called the inspection gate. And the armies of Israel would come through that inspection gate, and David would dole out awards or rewards to those that was valiant in battle. He would give special honor to those that had risked their lives, special honor to those that had conquered so much. And he would sit on there and he would honor them as they came in. I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day when we're going to all pass an inspection gate in heaven. And we're all going to receive, every person in here that's a Christian is going to receive a reward from the Lord. Paul wrote it this way. Listen to what he said. There are also celestial bodies. Bodies terrestrial. There are the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star, everybody say differs. One star, when you look in the heavens at night, you'll see a bright star over here. Then you'll see a little bit more dim star. Can I tell you, heaven is going to be like that. There are going to be difference in the glory that we receive. There is going to be a difference in the rewards that we receive. Not because one was more visible than the other one. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do whether or not you're willing and daring to be great. Whether you're willing to obey when the Lord tells you. He says, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Everybody say, so also. What'd you say? There are difference in the glories that we're going to receive one day. There's going to be in heaven, there's going to be rewards given out. There's going to be, the best way to say it, the reward. There are going to be those things given out to us based on what we've done on this earth. There is an inspection gate. I don't believe we'll be judged saved or lost. I believe we're already saved. But there will be we shall all stand before the bema of Christ, the judgment seat. Not to saved or lost, but the Bible says all that we've done on this earth is going to be tried by fire. Every penny we've given, every word we've spoken, every act we did, Everything we did is going to come under the scrutiny and inspection gate. And we will receive of the Lord. The Bible, Paul wrote it this way. He says, if there's anything left after the fire goes through it, that is what you're going to receive a reward on. Not on everything we've done, not everything we've said, not everything we've asked, but whatever stands the fire of God, it was done with the right motives, done with the right heart, done because we obeyed the Lord, not our own thing. The Bible says there'll come a day when the glory will be received, the rewards will be given out, and it'll be so different from one, as stars differ in their glory, as the moon is different than the sun, as the celestial is different than the terrestrial. There'll be such a difference in the rewards handed out in that day. And Barak had the chance to be great in the sight of the Lord, but the Bible says he refused to be great in the eyes of God. He said, I won't go unless you go with me. I know God said it, but I'm not going unless you go. Those who have dared to be great. You know what? 2 John 8 says this. Look at this. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have worked, but that we receive a full reward. I've learned this in life. If John is writing, he said, listen, look to yourselves that you don't lose out on the things you've already worked, accomplished, so that you receive a full reward. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be some of us will have lost some of the reward that we could have had. We will have lost out on the reward. When we stand before the inspection gate, there'll be the fire of God coming through, and we'll receive a reward, but we'll be like Barak. Barak received some honor because he defeated the armies that he was fighting. But the general was given over into the hands of a woman. He was not able. He did not receive a full reward. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind. I want to receive a full reward one day. Come on, somebody with me this morning? I read one time, it was I used to get the little paper from the Church of God. And I'll never forget, I read one time, and it had a year where they had a contest, if I could use that word for it. But they had a contest that year about who brought the most to Sunday school. That was their big deal in the Church of God. And I'll never forget, the reason I remembered it was because the winner of that was a 72-year-old grandmother that was tied to a wheelchair. And the story is by her pastor, because he said, let me tell you the story of Grandma. And he just called her Grandma. He said, Grandma came to me one day and said she wanted to know if she could start doing a little bus route to bring people to Sunday school. And I told her, no, because we don't have a bus. Come on, somebody. And she said, well, that don't matter. I got a station wagon. It's old. It's, you know, it's not the best. It rattles. But I got a station wagon. And he said, I said, no, ma'am. I said, we know insurance and we can't do it. And he said, she kept bugging me. To finally, I said, okay, Grandma, do what you want to do. He said, the next Sunday at 6 o'clock in the morning, my phone was ringing. Oh, oh, hi, Grandma. What? Okay, good. You bringing a car? Why are you calling me at 6 o'clock? Because I've got enough for 5 carloads, and I don't have enough to bring them. 72 years old, tied to a wheelchair. That year, on one Sunday alone, they had the biggest. She brought over 500 people to church in one Sunday. 72 years old. Everybody say, dare to be great. Come on, somebody. Dare to be great. You know, when the Lord wants to use you, it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, anybody can be great. I started to name this sermon this title. Go ahead and put the next slide up. I started to name this sermon this title right here. A tax collector, a bartender, a surveyor, a poet, a corset maker, and a coroner. A coroner. I started calling it a tax collector, a bartender, a surveyor, a poet, a corset maker, and a coroner. Anybody know what those people have in common? It's obvious. Don't you get it right off the bat? I mean, it's right off the bat. Let me tell you where this group came from. One guy was a tax collector. One guy was just your average. I mean, he was, you know, not well-liked. He was a tax collector. One guy was a average bartender. One guy was a surveyor. One guy was a poet. One guy was a corset maker, and they told me, I read his history, he wasn't a very good corset maker at that. And one was a local coroner. He's a local coroner. And these are just average Joes that, you know, that's their life. That's what their work was. Let me fill in the gap a little bit for you, and then we'll place them. The year is 1775, April the 19th. And under secret orders from the British government, a group of soldiers, I think 70 some of them, they found out where there was a ammunition depot of the American colonists. And they were dispatched to go destroy it. And word got to the American colonists ahead of time. And so they moved all the military stuff they had out of there. And they brought some of their militia there, their ragtag militia. And they decided that they had enough of the British government heavy-handed tactics against the colony. And so they come, and the British troops come, and there's a standoff. And still to this day, they don't know who fired the first shot, whether they did or we did. But it was called the shot that was heard around the world. It was the original mouse that roared. And at the end, when it was finished, it was a very close, it was just some shouting and then musket fire. And when it was finished, there was a charge by the troops of Britain. And over 25% of the American militia were killed. The rest of them took off on a dead run away. Only one of the British was wounded slightly. And from the looks of it, it was no more than a drill for the British troops. But for the America, it was the beginning of a revolution. And it literally was as if Idaho, the same, let me just put it in perspective. It was as if we got, you opened up your newspaper this morning and read, Idaho secedes from the nation. Come on, somebody. Declares war on the U.S. Come on, somebody. And then we get word, Idaho defeats the U.S. Because in that day, Britain was the strongest, biggest military might in the world. Let alone, we weren't even a country, we were a colony. They had the naval capacity, they had the troops, they had they were the biggest economic power of the day. And it was the same as if Idaho succeeded and declared war on the U.S. and won and defeated the U.S. with all of our technology today. That was the odds that happened. And how did America do what we did? Well, number one, without a doubt, it was God himself. That God put this country here for the gospel's sake and all that we've done. There's never been a country like America in terms of giving out the gospel. You can say all the negative you want to, but we give per capita more for missions than any other country on the face of the earth. But how did God do? What did God use? You know what God used? God used average Joes that dared to be great, that was willing to be used of God, even though they were average. There were a few well-known people that came into the war that was well-known prior. But most of the people we know of today and revere today were average Joes that were called upon to do something great for God. I have all that. Go to the next one. The tax collector was Samuel Adams. You ever heard of Sam? Not the beer, not the drink, whatever you may hear. He was one of the greats of our history. Before you put the next one up there, who knows who the bartender was? Who was the bartender? This guy was just a bartender. He was just a bartender. Anybody know who the bartender was? Not Jack Daniels. But Yeah, this is Louisiana education at its finest here, I could tell. The bartender was Patrick Henry. He was just an average Joe bartender. All right, who was the surveyor? George Washington. Say we got somebody probably homeschooled. We got somebody back there. It was George Washington. George Washington was a surveyor called in. Who was the poet? Not Charles. Poet was Nathan Hale was the poet. All right, who was the corset maker? Go to the corset maker. Thomas Paine was the corset maker. And who was the coroner? Put the coroner up there. Paul Revere was a coroner, was a local coroner. And these guys were just average Joes in the society's life. They weren't big names. They weren't famous people. But they, each of them, dared to be great. And now we remember them. You never remember that one was a poet. You don't remember, most of you don't remember they were a surveyor or a bartender or a coroner. You don't, a corset maker. You don't remember all that. You remember them because they dared to be great in their day and their time. Can I tell you, each one of us has the opportunity to be great at some point in our lives. And it doesn't matter to me whether you're 80 or 8. You will always have the opportunity to be great in the eyes of the Lord. When the Bible says that the angel came and was telling the mother of John the Baptist all about him, here's one of the phrases she says, and he shall be great in the eyes of the Lord. He shall be great in the sight of God. You know why? Because when you come to the place where you're willing to be used of God, you dare to be great. Deborah told Barak, he says, here's an opportunity for your name to be down in the annals of time. You're going to be listed as one of the great generals of God's armies. But he did not trust God completely, and he forfeited the opportunity. And you know what the amazing thing was? When you read that, many people think, well, God's going to sell him, the general Caesarea, into the hands of a woman. And everybody thinks, well, she's talking about her. You know what? She wasn't talking about herself. There was a little unknown woman that God was going to use, not even an Israelite, that when you refuse, God always has somebody else that's willing to do what you refuse to do. When you're not willing, God's got somebody over here that's willing to do what you're not willing to do. When you won't do it, God's got plan B, plan C, plan D. When you're not, and so the Bible says this, look at Judges 4. And verse 9 says, she said, I'll surely go with you, notwithstanding. The journey that you take shall not be for your honor then. But it could have been. Come on, somebody. It could have been for his honor. It could have been for his honor. Not that we're looking for glory. And honor, but there's times when, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a heavenly reward, not an earthly reward. And so it could have been for his honor, not only on the earth, but in heaven itself. But she said, because you refused to do what the Lord has said, he says, notwithstanding, the journey that you take will not be for your honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Who did he use? Go to the next scripture. Watch this. And Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host to Harshdresh, there's a lot of places there, of the Gentiles. And all the hosts of Sisera fell on the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. However, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned into her tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said to her, give me, I pray you, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened up a bottle of milk and gave him to drink and covered him. Let me know, if you drink warm milk and you put a blanket over you, what's going to happen to you? Again, he said to her, stand in the door of your tent, and it shall be when any man does come and inquire of you and say, is there any man here that you say, see, I can read even if it's not on there, that you shall say, he's not here. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. Now, I don't know about you, but I was thinking, if I was this woman's husband, I'm just thinking this. I'm just going to put this here. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, because the women used to, the Bedouin women used to pitch the tents. So they were used to driving these nails in these tents. She took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand, went in softly to him, and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. I'm just saying, if I was her husband, you know, I would take note. And for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. See, you're after him to kill him, but you're not going to get the honor because you didn't obey the Lord your God fully. So the honor is going to go to a woman, not to you, Barak. Come, I'll show you the man whom you seek. And when he came into the tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. And the Bible says they sang a song about this. Look at chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak the day of Abner on that day, saying, and here's what they said about her. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, she gave him milk. And that must have been a catchy tune. I didn't know the tune. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand on the nail, her right hand on the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. And her feet, at her feet he bowed. He fell, he lay down, her feet he bowed. He fell, where he bowed, there he fell dead. It's a really catchy tune in that day. But the song was about Jael, not Barak, because the word of the Lord came and says, because you dared not to be great, the honor will go to. Can I tell you, God always has somebody else willing to do what you're not willing to do. God has somebody else that's willing to take up the slack and be honored. Catherine Kuhlman, she used to be criticized over and over. You're a woman. You've gone through this. You've gone a divorce. You've done all this. And you know what she used to always say? She said, when the Lord came to me and offered me this ministry, here's what he said to me. This is what she said. That he had already offered it to 3 men and they turned it down. Come on, somebody. She said, I agree. It should have been a man doing this. I'm not, women don't get mad at him. I'm just saying what she said. She said, it should have been a man doing this. But God went to 3 men and they turned it down. So God's using me. James Robinson, you ought to heard him. He gave a testimony one day. He came to Baton Rouge. I listened to him. Do you know what he said? He said, you know what? I'm not going to name him, but there's a national ministry that many years ago, the Lord came to me and offered that ministry to me. And I wasn't willing to do what he asked me to do. Barak, you could have been great. And I would have sold the general Sisera into your hands and the songs would have been about you. But because you dared not to be great, I'm going to sell him into the hands of a woman and she will receive the honor and you will not receive it. Come on, somebody help me this morning. You know, I believe, and it's my own opinion, this is not scripture. This is my own opinion. I believe the ministry the Apostle Paul had was offered to the rich young ruler. And that's my own opinion. You may differ. But this is not one of these, you know, salvation. Or yet, this is just my opinion, all right? And I'm right. No, this is my opinion. I believe he offered the ministry to a rich young ruler. Because this man was sharp. Let's read it. Let's just read it. You'll see. He reminds me of the Apostle Paul. And a certain ruler asked him, because see, that's what Paul was. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He said, I outstripped all my brother, all the other ones. And this young man reminds me of the Apostle Paul so much. A certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why call me good? None is good save one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Now remember what Paul said about himself. He says, I was as far as commandments, I was blameless. Remember what Paul said? Paul described himself. He says, as far as the commandments are, I'm blameless. Remember all that? Well, y'all went through Louisiana schools. I forgot about that. All right. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Notice what he says. And he said, all these things, just as Paul said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. When Jesus heard these things, he looked at him. And one translation says he loved him. He looked at him and says, what lack ye, he said to him, yet lack you one, everybody say one thing. Sell all that you have. But now think about the Apostle Paul. Paul, he was a ruler in the, they laid their coats at his feet when Stephen was being stoned. He kept all the commandments. He tells about it later. He says, only one I had problem with was coveting. He said, I was blameless. It's because the touching of the law was blameless. And the Lord comes to him and tells him, he asked Paul the same thing he asked this young ruler. He tells the apostle Paul, leave everything, drop it all, come and follow. Yet lack you, everybody say one thing. Yet lack you one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And he heard this, was very sorrowful, for he's very rich. He walked away from an invitation to be great. One thing, just to him it was that. But one thing, when he came to the Apostle Paul, Paul had position, he had, and you know what, Paul did not miss his opportunity to be great. We could have read about him, Paul. We could have read about the apostle, about Saul. His name was Saul of Tarsus. We could have read about him in the book of Acts just like this. And he's on his way to Damascus to kill the Christians and arrest them. And a light from heaven fell there. And he got knocked down. And he never responded, never changed. Went on and did all that he did in Damascus to arrest. He could have been just that way. But he was willing to be great. Left, you know what he said one time? He said, let me list my, he said, you've made me brag a little bit. Let me brag. And he bragged one time in the scripture. He says, I'm a madman for doing this, he said, but let me brag. I was born on such and such. I was born in this tribe. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, touching the law, blameless, above my equals. I was rising above all. And he says, I count all those things as but dung. Come on, somebody. For the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Rich young ruler, how many know this? You know one of the amazing things about it is this? That was, he was a young, everybody say young, he was young. That was 30-some A.D. Only 30-some years later, Titus under the Roman army would come. And that rich young ruler would lose everything he held on to. Come on, somebody. And that which he'd held on to suddenly was at, can you believe, don't you think at some point in his life, we don't know whether he got saved later on or not, but I learned this, he missed a full reward he could have gotten. And the Bible says when he was offered to the Apostle Paul, Paul never didn't ask, if you go with me, I'll go. Didn't listen, but this rich young ruler, Jesus says, just one thing. You know what I've learned in life? Most of the time, it's just one thing keeping most people from being great. It's that one habit. It's that one sin. It's that one whatever that's keeping most people from going on. It's not even a sin. It's that one thing in your life. Not even a sin. Not even a. It can be that one thing is so different to different people, but it's that one thing that keeps you from being great. Might be a pursuit of this or pursuit of that. It might be, you know, David came off the hillside of Judean mountains and he heard that an uncircumcised Philistine blaspheming the name of God. And he said, why isn't somebody shutting his mouth? And they said, well, he's big. Number one, he's big. And we're not going to go out there. And the Bible says, he asked around. Then they said, well, there is a reward. Whoever defeats this guy gets the king's daughter. Come on, somebody. You tell a teenage boy that you got hormones on the loose. Come on, somebody. And he said, yeah, if you do that, you get the king's daughter. And David said, line me up. And the Bible says he went out there and defeated. He became great in the eyes. Anybody in there could have been great. Anybody that wanted to go. You know, they were hard up. If a teenage boy comes in there and tells the king, I'll go fight the monster. And the king says, all right, go ahead. Go, you know. And you know the story, because if David had gotten beaten, then the whole army became slaves to the Philistine army. Let me know, sometimes God is in these things that happen. And he goes and he does it. And he becomes great in the eyes of God because he was willing. Listen, it's time to rise up and get away, throw away that one thing that's stopping you from being great in God's eyes. You need to get rid of that one thing that's stopping you. You know, Hebrews 12 says it this way. Let me just read this. While seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and see the word "the" right there before sin. That word is in the, it's a definite article called in the Greek language. It means lay aside the sin. That is as if every person has a predominant sin they have to deal with. That is that one thing that keeps them from being great in the eyes of God. It keeps them from responding without fear and doubt. The Bible says if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And many times the devil will use that one thing, that one sin, that one thing that rises up, and we begin to lose our confidence. I believe this young ruler would have had the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And there was this one thing that he never was willing to give up, and that was finances for him. Others, it may be something different. But I've learned this in life. God is moved when we begin to move in faith. If Barak would have said, "I believe," come on, somebody say it with me, "I believe God." When Paul was on that boat, he said, "I believe God, it shall be as God has said it shall be." Instead of saying, "Unless you go with me, I'm not going to go." I've learned long ago that many times God strips you to see if you're willing to be great by believing and trusting God and God alone. That is doing what the Lord tells you to do and not being afraid and not waiting on your husband, your wife, all that. I remember the woman with the issue of blood. She did not wait for anybody else to go with her. She, on her heart, said, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made well." I won't go into all, there's a lot more to that story than that, but she was willing to be great. You know why we remember her today? Because she was willing to do what was in her heart to do. The woman that broke the alabaster jar and poured it out, you know what? She was willing to be great. And Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman has done shall be proclaimed also. You know why? Because she was willing to, she dared to be great in the eyes of the Lord. I've always said this. What does it matter if men smile and God frowns? But what do the frowns of men mean if God smiles? One time a missionary had been on the mission field for over 30-some years. And finally, he had not gotten a lot of support all those 30-some years, but he had labored courageously. And he came in, and he remembers when he got in, he couldn't believe it, because when he got to the airport in the States, stateside, came out through customs, there was a humongous celebration waiting for him. He couldn't believe it. And he'd come home, and he hadn't been home in over 30, had not even furloughed, 30-some years. Came home, and when he walked through there, as he began to feel the exhale and all, I mean, he looked and then realized it wasn't for him. There was some other figure that was from some industry or something. It was for him. You know, in his heart, he said, "Lord," he said, "you know, I feel, you know," he said, "Lord, I have done all this, all these years, and laid my life down, and here I am coming home, and nobody is welcoming me." And then the Lord whispered, "That's because you're not home yet." Come on, somebody. What earth overlooks, the day when we get to heaven, the rewards will be there for us. Don't worry about if nobody patted you on the back. We try to do that, remember to do that, but sometimes the Lord purposely has people forget. You know why? To test us, to see what we're doing it for. Because a day is going to come when we stand before the King, and there's going to be a heavenly inspection gate, and we're all going to come up to it. And Paul said, in that day, every man shall receive his own reward from the Lord. Everybody say amen today. Would you say amen? Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering. Let's stand up this morning, would you? Stand up on your feet. One thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing that is in your life. I want you to close your eyes, and I want to ask you, what is that one thing in your life I'll never forget one time I went in, I was witnessing to a man, and he had a pack of beer. And, I don't have a big deal about it. You know, I've taught a whole series on being wise concerning alcohol. And I talked about that. I talked about this. But you know what this man did? I remember he was sitting there, and sometimes when I used to go to people, you know, he just kept drinking. He said, "I'd be a Christian, but I ain't going to stop drinking. I like a good drunk as good as the next guy." And I didn't go into my, you know, what I believe, you know, about moderation and all. I didn't go into all that. I just looked at him and said, so you telling me you're trading out you're trading out eternity for a six pack, huh? That's it. I said, yeah, I'm not willing to, you know, sometimes you got to be willing to lay everything on the altar, and then God can give you back what he wants to give you back. But when, you know, the Lord knows what's important to you may not be important to somebody else. This rich young ruler was finances. Yours may be anger or lust or position or power or whatever it may be. You know, the Lord many times, he comes and he tells I believe my own heart was this rich young ruler would have had the Apostle Paul's ministry. That's what I believe. That's my own opinion. I believe he'd have been great in the eyes of God. And I believe everybody in here, God comes to you, and all of us is going to receive a reward. All of us is going to be judged one day. And so I'm going to ask you, how's your reward accumulation doing? How you doing? What are you doing in your life day by day? You know what? Every day, if you'll just do what's right, every day just do what you know to do is right. And know this. You say, I don't know what tomorrow brings. Yeah, you can. Every farmer in here knows what the crop is going to be. The harvest is going to be in their life. If they sowed soybeans, they know they got soybeans coming. If they sowed, sugar cane, well, they know that it's going to be sugar cane. And so every one of us knows what our future entails. Every one of us. How do you know that, Pastor? Whatever you're sowing, what you sow, you reap. Don't be deceived. What you sow, you reap. And so one of the questions would be is take heed to everything you've done, so that you receive a full reward in your life. You don't lose out. You don't have a lack. You don't get a partial reward. You don't get 50%. You don't get partial honor like Barak did. But do what the Lord has put into your hand to do. When the Lord gives you something in your heart, some of us get excited about it and then we don't finish it. We just let it die. Some of you have had things, you know, you've started and then you just kind of fluffed it off and let it die. And then you heard about somebody else doing it. I've had people that didn't want to be a Sunday school teacher and weren't part of our small groups. And so we got somebody else and they got all mad because we didn't make them in there. Come on, somebody. They're all these kind of different things. I'm just telling you the truth. When you won't do what the Lord asks you to do, God's got somebody else that's willing to do what you were not willing to do. Barak was not willing to do all out. And so Jael was given the honor of defeating Israel's biggest enemy. And in your life, as Catherine Kuhlman said, you know what? God offered this to three men before he gave it to me. And I don't know in your life what the Lord's got for you to do. Listen, do it with all your heart and do it with faith. Because the Lord is moved by faith. I believe God, it shall be as he said it shall be. And when the Lord puts in your heart something, when God speaks you to do something, do it with all your heart because the honor then will go to you. And you receive a full reward. Father, this morning I pray for our church. I ask you, Lord, for that one thing that's hindering, that one thing they lack, that one thing that's stopping them. Father, I pray this morning that they would be as the Apostle Paul and they would lay it down. They would count it all rubbish in their lives and they would go on for God. I pray, Lord, whether they're 8 years old or 80 years old in here, that they would be, receive a full reward by completely following the Lord, as they did, Lord, as Joshua did, as Caleb did. They would follow the Lord, and at the end, they would say, "Now, Lord, give me my reward. You promised this and that." Father, I pray a blessing on him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen this morning. Would you give the Lord a good clap offering? Would you do that with me? Amen. All right, turn to somebody and say, "Dare to be great," would you? God bless you, and you're dismissed. Say, "Dare to be great" this morning. Thank you.